Good morning. I bring you greetings in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm just thankful and blessed to be here this morning. I thank God for the opportunity that he has given me to share a word from the Lord this morning. I thank my pastor for granting me the privilege to stand before you this morning. I ask that you pray with me and pray for me. Our text is going to come from a familiar passage found in Hebrews chapter 12. I'll be reading verses 1 through 3 and ask that you read along with me. And it reads, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." Today, I just want to speak for a few moments from the text, "Finishing Well, Running the Christian Marathon." Let's pray. Eternal God, I thank you so much for the opportunity. But now, Lord, I ask that you speak and that the people hear you and not me. God, I ask that you be seen, that the people see you and not me. God, I ask now that you let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, Father, let them be acceptable in your sight, that you will be glorified, your word edified, and your people, Father, will be edified and your word magnified through them in your spirit. I pray and ask all in the matchless and mighty name of Jesus. Amen. I've always enjoyed watching sports on TV. You know, I especially like the ones featuring, you know, track and field. I like watching the 100-yard dash and the 400 meters. I mean, I could go on. I just like watching track and field stuff. But my favorite is watching marathons. See, in marathons, anyone can enter. Doesn't matter your age, doesn't matter how old you are, you know, it doesn't matter if you're thin, tall, short, fat, whatever. You can, if you have the desire, you can get into marathon. But what's interesting about a marathon, it does have to take some speed, but it's not all about speed. But it's really about determination and endurance. See, for many people who enter the marathon or enter the race, they already realize that they may not cross the finish line first. See, for them, it's not how fast they run, but how well they run. This is true for us as believers today. For, see, we're also in a marathon. So you may ask, what marathon? Well, we're in the marathon called the race of faith. See, this race does not require one quick burst of energy like some races do. And then once you've done it, it's over with. But our race, our marathon, requires us to be in a sustained effort over time. In other words, this is a lifelong race. See, for believers and Christians who are in this marathon, in our text today, I want to just list four things that I found that I believe may help us each cross that finish line. One is remember past runners. Run your race. Run with endurance. And especially run with your eyes fixed on Christ. In our text this morning, we see in the beginning, verse 1 says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses." So the first question is, who are these witnesses? Well, one thing that caught my attention was the word "therefore." And when you see the word "therefore," it stands for something has already preceded it. So in other words, it's saying for us to ask the question, what is this scripture there for? And it points back to Hebrews chapter 11. See, in Hebrews chapter 11, God has placed certain ones who ran this race previously. See, these are the ones he placed in his, if you will, hall of faith. See, they serve as examples for that the race can be run and can be won. See, they are the ones who ran the race that they were given. So they prove to us that despite anything that we may be encountering today, we can stay in the race. Now, the first thing I want you to understand that the people I'm talking about this morning, they did not run perfectly. See, they weren't any extraordinary people. Let me put it this way. Let me kind of give you some people who God placed in his hall of faith. See, there's Abraham. Abraham is the father of faith, as we know. But see, Abraham was faced with a challenge. He had to tell people the truth about his wife, Sarah, when they asked who she was, and he said she was his sister. So Abraham told her what we like to call a little white lie, a little lie. He told a lie, y'all. Now, Jacob, we know about Jacob. Jacob was a trickster. He tricked his brother out of his birthright. Then we got Moses. Moses, the emancipator, brought Israel through the Red Sea. Well, Moses had some anger issues. You remember when Moses was told to hit the rock, and he actually struck the rock. So he had a little anger issues. People had got on his last nerve. And then we have Rahab. Now, we know about Rahab had a shady past. Rahab, the Bible says, was a prostitute. But Rahab was a woman who trusted God enough to allow the spies, when they came to observe the land, hid them from those who were looking after them, watching after them, coming after them. And then there's David, whom God says was a man after his own heart. But we all know about David. David was an adulterer and a murderer. And don't let me talk about Samson. Samson just had, well, y'all, some women issues. But what I'm saying is that just like us, they had faults and failures. But they kept running. They stayed in the race. They still ran. See, they didn't give up despite some of the unspeakable suffering and pain they had to endure. They stayed in the race. They ran their race until it was finished. So today they serve as our examples. They encourage us, but they also challenge us. They are telling us, can't you hear them? Don't give up. See, their unyielding faith serves as proof of the reliability of God. He will never fail us. So I know for a fact from their example that if God took care of them, if he honored their faith, if he protected and sustained them, and despite all that they did in their lives and went through, still used them for his glory, let me tell you something. I know for a fact that he will do the same for you and I. But there's just one thing. We have to do like they did. We have to stay in the race. And let me pause for just a minute, because I know someone might be saying, well, I hear you, but I really didn't get in the race. I don't think I'm in the race. Well, can I share something with you? Come a little closer. Every believer who has placed their faith and hope in Jesus Christ, I have to tell you, you're already in the race. You are running the Christian marathon. See, our registration was done when we were saved, sanctified, and secured through the blood of Jesus Christ. So I'm sorry to tell you, y'all, there's no backing out now. You're in it for the long haul. But see, just like those who came before us, in order for us to achieve our goal in finishing this race, we must make some necessary preparations. See, in verse 1, it tells us that we need to lay aside every weight and the sin that entangles. So what is a weight? Well, it refers to anything that will hinder our walk with God. See, one thing we have to remember, that a wise runner makes sure that all unnecessary weight is removed so that he or she can reach their fullest potential. Let me give you an example. When I was a lot lighter and a lot younger, I took up weightlifting. I went to the gym with a friend, and I enjoyed lifting weights. And he had been doing weightlifting for years, so he was able to lift a lot of weight. But when I went in, he told me, he said, "Well, Don, you want to start with the lighter weight?" But I saw him with these 25-pound weights, and I just wanted to get those 25-pound weights. And he said, "No, start with the 5-pound." But I wanted to get the 25-pound. And then he did this, what you call squats. And he put these 25 pounds on one on one side and one on the other. And he had the bar, and he got up under the bar, and he lifted it up. And he brought it down on shoulders, and he went down, and he came up. And then he went down, and he came up. And I said, "Oh, I want to do that." And so I told him, I said, "Let me try." And he said, "No, Don, this is going to be a little too much weight for you. You know, work with the 5-pound weight." I said, no, I think I can do this. It looks easy." He said, no, you need to start with the 5-pound. No. I told him, I really think I can do this." So he said, "All right, then." So he puts the weights on the bar. He tells me how to get up under the bar. And then he tells me to lift. He spots me, and he lifts the bar up. And then he brings it down on my shoulders. And he lets it go. And when he lets it go, he says, "Squat." So I go down. And he tells me, he says, "Get up." I said, "I can't." He said, "Yes, you can." I said, no, I can't. I can't get up. I can't get it off. Just get it off. He said, "But you said you." I said, no, this is too heavy. So he began to spot me and lift the weight up, and then he got it back on the bar. And that's how the weight of our lives can be with us. Sometimes they seem like we can carry them, and it's no problem. But the weight of our lives can weigh us down where it hinders us from running the race for Christ. Now, someone may be thinking, "Well, I really don't have that much weight. I don't really have to worry about that. I mean, I'm thinking about all these people have all these other problems and issues and all these things that they need to take care of." But that's the crazy part about it, because weights can go from, like I said, 5 pounds to 25 pounds. Some weights can be just as simple as having a dislike for somebody, saying, "I don't like him or her." That's a weight that can hinder you from running the race. Someone could have some jealousy in their lives. That's a weight that can hinder you from running the race. Somebody can just have hatred for somebody. Mad because they did something 20 years ago. They stepped on my toe and I ain't forgiven them yet. Unforgiveness can be a weight that can hinder you from running God's race. What I'm saying is that there's no little lightweight. The scripture says we have to lay aside every weight. But it also tells us that we have to also handle that sin that entangles us. See, myself first, all of us have that one thing that's got us tripping. That one thing, that one irritating sin that every time you try to let it go, it's like a boomerang. It keeps coming back. I mean, has anyone ever thrown a boomerang? You know, when you throw it, I don't care how far you throw it, it finds its way back to the person that threw it. And that's how our habitual sins can be. We can continually try to get rid of them on our own. We can continually try to fight against them on our own, but they keep returning and coming back. See, the Apostle Paul said it this way in Romans 7, verses 15 through 20. And bear with me as I turn there. He says, I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is, it is no longer I, myself, who do it, but it is sin living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. So Paul is saying that no matter how hard he tries, he's still faced with some struggles and some situations and sin that he is still having to deal with. And all of us have to deal with those things. And so Paul is saying that we have to rely and trust on the power of God, because he is the one who can help us become detangled in the mess that we can find ourselves in through sin. Have you ever had a cord? Maybe sometimes I'll use the power cord to trim my hedges or to trim my yard with. And I always like to wrap it up really nice and neat and make it look real kind of nice, real pretty and everything with the going around. And it looks so nice. But when I always find when I go to take it or loose to use it, it's always tangled up. Regardless of how nice and neat it is, it winds up tangled. And so when I go to use it, I have to keep pulling and pulling. And the more I pull, it seems like the worse it gets. And the more I pull, it seems like the more knots I find. But then there's this one place where I'll find a loop and I'll pull one part of it through. And it begins to detangle and begins to unravel. And I always think about the hand of God. How when we get stuck and sin entangles us, he always finds a way to bring us out of that situation. He said in his word that there's no sin that's not common to man. So we all go through something. We all have gone through something that has brought us down, brought us through some struggles, and we have all have sinned. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But God will always give you a way out. He will bless you to be able to come through those circumstances that weigh you down. So I'm thankful for the scripture that Paul has presented here. He reminds us that there are things that can keep us and hinder us from running the race. And we have to keep ourselves ready to go to God and ask God to strengthen us and give us his grace. Paul said in one of his accounts that he prayed to God 3 times for him to remove a thorn. And God's reply to him was, "My grace is sufficient for thee." That means for us as well. "For my strength is made perfect in weakness," which means when we go to him in our weak moments, God's power is shown through us when we rely on his strength. And so we can become detangled from all the sins that we face and the things that we keep going through, because sin can entrap us, and we have to trust God because he will bring us out. But it also tells us in verse 1 that we have to run the race with perseverance, which means you have to run your race. See, I can't run the race for you. Each of us has a race that he and she must run. And only you can run it. And you have to run it your way, which means you have to run it in the way God has gifted you to run your race. And one of the things I found a story of an example of a person who I feel may fit this criteria, this example of running their own race. There was a man by the name of Cliff Young who at the age of 61 entered the Australia Ultramarathon in 1983. Now, this marathon is a 543.7-mile endurance race. Now, it goes from Sydney to Melbourne. Now, this race is considered one of the world's most grueling marathons. See, because it takes about 5 days to run, to complete the race. And it's usually run by world-class professional athletes. And see, these people have already trained specifically for this event. And most of the competitors are typically less than 30 years old. So needless to say, Clifford at 61 seemed like he shouldn't even enter the race. I mean, as a matter of fact, when Clifford showed up for the race, he wasn't dressed like the other racers. He wasn't dressed in the attire that would be fitting for a race. Get this, y'all. Clifford showed up wearing overalls and work boots. Now, needless to say, that's a bad combination to say I'm going to run a marathon. So when people saw him, they considered that he might be a spectator. So it really didn't bother him too much. But when Clifford approached the registration table, asked for a racing number, and then joined the other runners, they were amazed. As a matter of fact, some of the competitors and some of the people looked at Clifford and said, "Are you crazy? I mean, there's no way you can finish the race." But I love how Clifford answered him. He said, "Yes, I can." See, Cliff went on to tell him that he grew up on a farm where he would have to round up the sheep whenever a storm came. He said, "We had about 2,000 sheep on 2,000 acres. And sometimes I would have to run the sheep for 2 or 3 days. Yeah, it took a long time. But I'd always catch them. So, yeah, I believe I can run this race." So as the race began, as the runners approached the starting line, the gun went off. All the runners took off, leaving Cliff in their dust. As a matter of fact, people said that the way Cliff ran didn't even look like he was running. It looked more like he was shuffling. So people began to snicker at Cliff's determination to stay in the race. See, what Cliff didn't know, but all the other professional athletes knew, that it took about 5 days to finish the race. And in order for someone to finish the race, they had to run about 18 hours a day and sleep the remaining 6 hours. The only thing was, they all knew, but nobody told Cliff. So instead of him stopping and resting, Cliff kept running. He kept running through the night. He kept running each night without sleeping. And the thing is, y'all, by the final night, he had surpassed all the world-class athletes. As a matter of fact, he was the first competitor to cross the finish line. And then he set a new course record. As a matter of fact, today, professional athletes have tried to mimic and emulate the style that Clifford ran. And they named it the Clifford Shuffle. See, Clifford reminds us that regardless of who you are, you can run your own race. You don't have to be the fastest. You don't have to be the most talented. You don't have to be the most person that's the most fit. All you have to do is have the determination to run. See, I like to think about Clifford having that little engine that could mentality. You know, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. Because in the end, Clifford could look at all his naysayers and say, "I thought I could. I thought I could. Yeah, I thought I could." And that's the way it is for us as Christians. No matter how long you've been in this race, y'all, you can keep running. You may get discouraged. You may fall sometimes and falter, but just stay in the race. And you can look at those naysayers and say, "You can't make it. You're not going to get through it. That thing you handle it, you're not going to be able to handle it." You can tell them and look like Clifford said, "I thought I could. I thought I could. I thought I could." See, as Christians, each of us have to run our own race. This reminds me that regardless of how tough the terrain may get, and no matter how hard the enemy may fight to deter us and try to keep us from running, we can stay firm and grounded in the race. Ephesians 6:10 and 17 reminds us And this is what it says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggles is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. And in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. What I'm saying, y'all, is God has already given us what we need to run the race. We just have to make the right preparations. We have to put on his armor, because in his armor is like Superman. No bullet, no flame, no arrow. Nothing can penetrate that armor. So we have to stay focused and stay firm on God's word and trust him that he will help us run this race. But not only does he bless us that we can look back at those who have run, and he will bless us and help us through the times when we feel weighted down and get us through those times that we struggle with those sins that keep entangling us, he will be able to move us and bring us through those things. But he also reminds us that we can run with endurance. See, as Christians, we are challenged to run with endurance the race of faith. See, I'm going to tell you, I tried running. Didn't work out very well. Because running is hard. I mean, it's not easy. And for many, they start and they quit. And for others, they don't start at all. I found something interesting when I was reading. I found something by the California International Marathon Association. They gave some statistics about people who entered the race. They say of those who enter a race, an average of 10% do not show up at the start line. Another 5 to 10% don't even finish. But then they went on to say, but there is a percentage, and that's where we need to be and want to be, that go the distance against all odds. See, the scripture reminds us that we can run with endurance the race marked before us. Isaiah 40, 31 says that if we keep our hope in Christ, that we'll mount up with wings as eagles. We'll run and not get weary. We'll walk and not faint. So we can always know that God is the wind beneath our wings. All we have to do is just keep trusting and relying on him. And I want to just share a moment of story about my son, my youngest son, Carlton, who gave me some inspiration about endurance. See, Carlton was in high school at the time, and he attended Vincent High School, and he decided to join the cross-country team. And he came and told me that he had joined the team, and I became extremely nervous. As a matter of fact, I tried to discourage him from running, because, see, Carlton had asthma. And so I was concerned about Carlton running this race, dealing with that he had to worry about his breathing and would he be able to hold out and all of that. But it was one day while I was watching him run one of the events that I noticed something. Now, I was kind of surprised, because as I watched Carlton run, he seemed real comfortable. I mean, he ran a steady pace. He was controlling his breathing. I mean, as a matter of fact, it seemed like every circuit that he came around, he got even stronger. And really what made me proud that he finished well in the course. So he taught me something that day that the scripture often reminds us, that you and I, my brothers and sisters, can run this race. We can run this race of faith, but we have to remain steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord our labor is not in vain. And I'm so grateful that we can do that, to stand steadfast, be unmoved, stay always in the work of God. Because I always tell my son, if you keep God first, he'll keep you first. But not only can we run with endurance, not only can we look back at those who have ran before us, but there's one thing that's most vital, that's the most important thing when we run this race, that we must run with our eyes fixed and focused on Christ. See, if we take our eyes off of him, then there's nothing that we can do. We're going to falter and fail. See, the scripture says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. That makes me happy, because I know that Christ has already done this thing. And through his example, I can continue to press on toward the mark. See, what I like about it, it says, for the joy set before him. See, he knew what was awaiting him if he stayed in the race. See, if he had forfeited or stopped, he wouldn't have received what God had waiting for him. And what he had waiting was a seat next to him at the right hand of his throne. And what God has for us is a crown of glory. See, Paul said that he had fought a good fight. He had finished the race. He had kept the faith. He said, and what was waiting for him was a crown of glory for him. But I like what he says towards the end. He says, but it's not just for me. It's for all who have put their hope in Jesus Christ, who are awaiting his appearance. So that means if we stay in the race, y'all, we got our eyes fixed on the goal. And our goal is in heaven. Our goal is what God has for us, waiting for us. He has a prize for us. So Jesus set the stage for us, y'all. He is our example. Just keep your eyes on him. See, because it's important, because if we take our eyes off of him, certain things can happen. I'm reminded of the story of Peter. Many of us remember Peter when he was on the boat. And he saw Jesus walking on the water, and he told Jesus, said, Jesus, if it's you, if it's really you, let me come out there to you. Let me walk on the water. Jesus said, come on. So he came out and he started walking. And as he was walking, he had his eyes on Jesus. He just kept his eyes on him. But then the waves started dashing and crashing. And as soon as he started looking at the waves, he began to sink. And then he cried and said, Lord, save me. And what Peter is showing us today is that we can be like that in our lives. When we take our eyes off of Christ, we can begin to sink in the waves of life. Because the waves have a way of beating on us and sometimes can beat us down. But if we stay fixed and focused on Christ, he will keep us strong and he will keep us steadfast and standing and running in the race. One more thing I want to share with you. Because I know sometimes when we go through these times of struggles in our lives, and sometimes even when we feel that Christ is not even with us during those times. But I want you to know that Jesus already knows we're going to face hardships, that we're going to be discouraged as we run this Christian marathon. But one thing we must remember, that we're never alone. See, he promised never to leave us nor forsake us. He said that he would be with us to the end of the world. So I'm thankful to know that even in the times that I feel like I'm struggling, Christ is with me to hold me up, to keep pushing me forward, to keep pushing me to move towards that mark. I remember my mom used to say something when she would go through some hard times in her lives, and And the song came back to me the other day, and she used to hum this tune, "Walk with me, Lord, walk with me. While I'm on this pilgrim journey, I want Jesus to walk with me." And I tell you, he will walk with you. As you are in this journey, he will walk with you. While you're going through times of hardship, he will walk with you. He has proven that you can make it. He has proven that you can make it through the race. He has proven to us that you can go through anything in life as long as you keep your eyes fixed and focused on him. And as I close this morning, I just want to leave you with this thought. I ran across a song that's sung by a group called Youthful Praise. And the song is entitled, "You Can Make It." And this is what the verse says. "We all have struggled with trials of life. Daily we have fought for the cause of Christ. God knows everything we are going through, but keep pressing toward the mark. He'll strengthen you. You can make it. You can take it. Christ will strengthen you. You can make it through. Be encouraged. Don't give up. You can go all the way. And yes, we can run this Christian marathon. We can cross the finish line. Because God has blessed us to remember past runners who have gone before. See, they're our encouragement because they're cheering us on. We can run our own race. We can be like a Cliff Young with that little engine that could mentality. We can go against the odds. And we can run with endurance because we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And most importantly, we can win it and we can make it through with our eyes fixed and focused on Christ. For he is our example. He is our champion. So I have a question for you this morning. And I want you to be honest with me. Don't fool me. How many are determined to make it through the race, to continue to run for Christ, to continue to be that victorious winner? Because you can make it. You can make it through. This race of the Christian life has already been won. I love the fact that it says it was marked out before us, which means that we're not running blindly. God has already marked our course. And if he has already marked the course for us, y'all, we can run it. Because he didn't put anything there that we can't make it through. I don't care if there's a pitfall, he'll bring you over it. I don't care if there's a block, he'll take you around it. And if he won't take you around it, he'll help you to get over it. So I want you to be encouraged today. Because someone today I feel is about to give up. Say, "Lord, I've been in this thing a long time and it seems like nothing's getting better." But I want you to stay in the race. Too many people have given up. We've had those who have joined the faith and now are doing other things, have left Christianity and gone to Muslim, have become Buddhist, have gone to other areas of life. I remember I was talking with Pastor and I shared with him about a friend of mine who told me a story about a family member. Said she had been in a Christian family for all her life, grew up in the church, had great faith in God, and she met somebody and she got tangled up with them. And she told her one day, she said, "I'm going to join their religion." She said, "The only thing that hurts me is that I hate to give up my Jesus. And I'm going to tell you now, I don't want to be with nobody and in anything that's going to make me give up Jesus." So you must stay focused on Christ. He is the one that will get you through. He is the one that will keep you in the race. Stay focused on him. He has given us what we need. When we get weary, it's in his word. He'll tell us what we need through the word. If we get tired, if we get discouraged, it's in his word. He told us, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." All you have to do is look at what he has for you in his word, and he will give you all you need to make it through the race. So I want you to be encouraged today. Don't give up. Keep running. Keep going. And I guarantee you, you will finish well this Christian marathon. God bless you.